That poor woman.
Let's get it in with a game.
I'm confused. What actually happened? You wanna play a game?
Making up noise on the bus.
You wanna play a game?
Yeah, your mic needs to get closer, mate.
Oh, mine. Okay.
How do you say it? Like, Jigsaw.
Well, raise it to where, make it comfortable.
You wanna play a game? Oh, you can't say it.
You wanna play a game? Oh, it sounds good in the mic. Yeah.
Okay, let's all put deep voices on so we can get like more listeners.
I don't know if the Lord would be happy with that.
We do anything for clout.
Oh my days.
I'm joking.
Well.
Certain people will still.
I've been fishing for a wife. I was going to
say
husband.
Well.
What?
Fishing for a wife. It's a bit mad.
To be fair, I would do the same if I were fishing for.
What? Whoa. I would put the lower voice on. Oh, for a husband or wife?
Whichever.
Whoa. What? Which means for a husband or wife?
No. Fishing for a wife. But okay, if I were. Yeah. It would be the same. I wouldn't put a higher voice on.
Why not? Oh, true.
But there why would you put a lower voice? I hate when guys.
Why are you putting a voice on in the first place?
I don't put a voice. It just the voice puts itself on me.
I might say it gets later.
No, because then when you get comfortable, then your normal voice comes on.
it's a shock. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think it is. It happens gradually.
It's like when girls take off their makeup.
It happens gradually. Because I don't think anyone like
brown
that
skin
work?
Girl.
No, my I voice do is on lower. FaceTime. Just
little no, big like
no. Wow.
You look at their reaction.
She's doing the eyelash takeoff. She's taking on everything.
You look at their reaction first. It's the eyelashes. But then it's down here. It's like below the eyes.
See
take
there.
That off.
That's my spot. Still.
Eyebrows so are always last because
your eyebrows like very thick, bro. But it's like raw.
Yeah.
You changed.
I don't know. To me, I
just love
if
yourself.
If I were a girl, I would not wear makeup.
Why?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Nah, makeup makes you feel like you're a bad bee. Honestly,
are you serious?
I'm being serious.
Nah, I do hear that though. Cause it's like a trim.
Don't
it's kind of like a trim in a sense. In a sense. The only difference is
so
not
much
natural.
Effort, mate.
Yeah, but. Okay, you could say sitting in the barbers for 3 hours is effort.
Do you know what? Let me tell you.
I'm
what.
Not saying it's the same because obviously like, makeup's like artificial.
You go to the hairdressers to get hair done anyway, and that's like 8 hours. So to me, that's not an issue. That's hair. Or I don't mind it, but like I don't know. I also don't mind natural.
If a girl came along with like and she wasn't like caked up in makeup, bro, looking all mad and that. Like her face is red and she's black and that. Like,
I've been seeing certain people's artistry. Like, when you see...
The beasts. I have seen...
A bit shaded certain people.
Deception of deception.
Nah, because it looks natural. It looks like a natural beat, like, nice and... Like, it's enhancing them. And then when they take it off and it's just like...
It's not... Yeah.
That's a butt.
The discoloration.
It's...
The hyperpigmentation.
It's true.
You know what? Man needs to start normalizing that hype, whatever that is, bro. Because that's normal. I think.
No, it's not.
The hyperpigmentation thing, just like
what do you mean hyper? Like just, you're just completely like, different skin color. No, you are.
Two-toned. I've got two-toned.
Spots that come darker on black people.
Yeah,
it's like that. So you know how some women are like darker around here, or like up here.
Yeah.
That's hyperpigmentation.
Oh, I thought hyperpigmentation meant like
not that one.
Oh, my thing is what I don't like is like. You're a completely different skin tone from your foundation.
Well,
that's
like,
a problem.
Well, like,
but sometimes you have to, because my face is darker than my body, so I always try and match.
Nah, I do hear that.
Oh, somewhere.
That's fine.
But guys, we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Just love yourself. Love yourself.
Hello from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked into the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about to be a Masoline still.
I've done it for jokes. I don't like it on my ear. I've spoken into someone's ear.
Someone like whispered in your ears.
Nah. Someone tried to put their finger whisper. I think they do it as jokes as well.
In
a sexual situation. Nah.
Oh, okay.
Them sweet nothings.
Yeah, I don't like it.
to be whispering in your ear. Oh, I was recording.
Body and your ass looks soft.
What? What? Say that again. I didn't hear. I really didn't hear. Say that again. What did he say?
Anywho,
let's go into
start with the game.
Yeah, let's go into the game.
Start with the editing's game. A beautiful thing, you know. Literally, that's all I can say.
It's nice when you're not doing it, isn't it, Cameron?
Yeah, I know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Nah, okay, so game is just like basically word association. So obviously if I say a word now to start with, you just have to get a word that's basically attached. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You just have to say a word that's basically connected to the word.
Okay.
So I'm gonna start with
Oh, I've got a twist of this after.
Okay. Performance. Like,
drama.
Theatre.
Play.
Was it back to me? Yeah. Oh, curtains.
Lights.
Action.
Five.
Four.
Time.
Three.
Action, time. Clock? Wow.
Tick.
Dance hall.
Jeez, I like that. Five.
Speakers.
Oh, I was gonna say dagger.
Gosh.
Mine was the kosher version.
You can actually say that though, because you know the Jamaican man that chop off the speakers.
Yeah, that's exactly what I say.
Vibes.
Prison.
Oh, easy.
I thought you were gonna say cartel. House.
Windows.
Outside.
Grass.
Smell.
I got one. Roses.
Thorns.
Crown.
Jesus.
And on that note,
the episode.
You know the bad thing is, yeah, like, we can't risk it with an honest though. Let's leave it.
They get it.
Yeah. Okay, so we started with, obviously, guys, listeners, welcome to a new
series.
Season series. And we're going to speak about in a youthful vision or youthful eye. The Steps to Christ, written by Ellen G. White. We do have a guest with us today. Would you like to introduce yourself?
No, not really.
Introduce yourself. And we start a question. No,
the amazing. No. The girl with the braids. The girl.
Why
with
are you struggling?
The dry ankles.
So you're gonna say the dragon tattoo.
You're rude.
Go on.
I just got what you said. That's rude.
Annette.
The girl that doesn't like avocado. It's Annette.
Now, how do I introduce myself?
Just say your name.
Yeah.
Say your name, innit?
Annette.
Hi,
Say something interesting. What's something that, like, people don't know about you?
I don't like people.
But you here?
Hello?
Nah, people always question, like, because I work
with people,
so it's just like...
Oh, you don't like them?
I don't like people.
What's, like, the worst thing a customer's, like, don't know said?
What's the worst thing? Oh, yeah, you work with people, so what's the worst thing, in customer service that you've experienced, but obviously from as a customer servant, that sounds random. Yeah. But
that's the question qualifies already.
Nah, so like where I work, it's an Italian restaurant, and obviously you come in anywhere you'd go, you have the menu. That's basically what they have to offer. So people are always asking like things that aren't on the menu, and this one time, like the group of like black boys came in. They were really nice, but he just kept asking for like mac and cheese.
Almost, like, out of obligation. They were really nice.
Yeah. But I was thinking, I was like, so you've come to an Italian place, like why do you want mac and cheese for? Like you have it on Sundays. Like...
Did you say that to him though?
I did actually. I was like, so you've come to an Italian, because like there's certain people like you can banter with.
Yeah.
So I know my demographic on how to act with certain people. I think that's why I like it, because I can just like put a front on cheeky, to. Yeah.
You like that role play, isn't it?
I heard that.
That
was you. That was you.
Wow. Wowzers.
What's your worst experience?
Worst experience? I've had too much, though.
What?
Quickly, one. Yeah. One was a guy said, a guy told me that I got something wrong when it said in his face. I was literally like, it's right there in your face. Obviously, I can be cheeky. I'm cheeky with people. So I'm like, look in the face, like, do you need to clean your glasses, sir? Everything like that. But, you know what I mean? Oh, okay. But then, like,
Now, see, the bartenders can act like that. The bartenders, like, do say stuff like that, but we can't.
They're gonna say nothing. No one's gonna say anything to me. I don't know why, but I just feel like no one's gonna say anything to me. Maybe it's just me. Another one is that, like,
do you say it with a smile?
Of course. Of course. That's why. You have to, it's on the camera. You have to smile on the camera. So make it seem that, like, you're not being aggy with them. Literally, so everything I do is with a smile. So even, like, someone tried to fight me the other day. And then, like, I was just
at
like,
work.
At work, yeah.
I'm guessing this is a night shift.
Yeah. This is me only doing night shifts. So obviously, this is me trying to, like, get him out of the store.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm just literally just not moving, just like not talking. Obviously, I was getting angrier, so obviously I stayed silent.
Was he or she drunk?
Yeah, they were drunk. It's like a group of them. Okay. And obviously, his boy was just like, if you're not gonna bang him in his face, then go. Let me might as well go. I was like, the one is, obviously we can't punch first. I was like, literally, knowing you're just waiting for someone to punch you. So I was like, I literally clenched my jaw. I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to hold this bang here so I can bang him up. So I just had to like, clench and just kind of smile. So like, yeah, and then like, yeah, that was it. And they tried to spit on me, but he spat on his friend instead. So that kind of made me.
But what, sir?
He spat on his friend instead. So that kind of made me chuckle still.
What would have been so funny to me is if he spat and forgot that he was wearing a mask. Oh, I would have died. In front of him, I would have like passed out in front of him. I really would.
Wow.
Anyway, that's strong, my stupid little sense of humor.
It's good, man. It's good. It's funny. It's funny.
Customer
service is amazing, man.
It sounds, man.
Is what it is, though, man.
Nah, it is what it is.
I'm sure I'm gonna have my
face. Yeah, you will. Definitely will.
I'm gonna enjoy customer service. We'll see. Nah, I will. Especially Saturday night.
Especially Saturday night. I bet
that's even for you. That must be a
Do you know what it is? For me, night. I don't mind Saturday night because like I've got like my whole face for Saturday night. I don't smile on Saturdays. As in when I see drunk people come in, I'm just like.
Yeah,
everything's quick, so it's like straight face.
Yeah,
you may not enjoy it here, do ya? Nah. Cool. Yeah. Pay, done, next. Literally, even if they're still there, next, please.
Yeah,
literally. Yeah, if it's someone who
I see,
if it's someone who's like kind of wanting to talk, I'll talk.
Yeah, okay.
Obviously, if it's like a drunk person, I ain't got time for you. So,
Customer service.
Customer service. I've done like one day on the bar. And I was just like, never again.
Why not?
Because I did it at the races one time. Bruv, that was like my first. And obviously, I didn't know how to.
The horses.
Yeah. But I didn't know how to pour drinks in it.
That's the easiest thing to do on bar.
But obviously I ain't been behind the.
You could get too much head.
But I ain't been behind the bar. But imagine you're just left on the bar for the first time by yourself.
Yeah.
You get me? So obviously I'm not stupid. Someone has to like I didn't know in it because I don't drink beer in it.
So obviously I'm just pouring
like a normal drink, bro. There's no angle to it. You know what I'm saying?
You got it.
I'm in the first time, bro. He looks so unhappy with me. I gave him the froth. Bro. It was like half froth. But I just remember people like saying like, bro, this guy is slow. I was like, bro, I'll bang you in the face, you know.
People get mad if you don't put enough froth on there. That's why on Peroni glasses, they've got the red. Well. That's the, yeah, too much or too little.
Yeah, but either way, I was just getting the, but I did get the hang of it after a while, but it was kind of like.
That's what the first couple customers were like.
Yeah, it was mad. It was mad, but imagine though, it's like a busy, it's a busy race, bro. And then it was only until like an hour and a half. That hour and a half felt like the longest time ever. I was sweating, bro. And the tool wasn't working properly as well. It was all finished from there.
Just giving out drinks for free.
Yeah.
You worked on the floor, though.
I haven't worked on the floor still. That's why I used to like working back of house. Because back of house, I don't have to chat to no one. I can eat the food and that. I can watch people spitting you food.
There were times I never saw that.
That's true, you know. There are times I've seen not where I work. Yeah. We're an established business.
This is what I'm nice to people.
I've seen like food drop on the floor. And still pick up. If your waitress is like, oh no, this is an aggy table. Like, there's no time to make it again. Just Woo! Not at my place though.
The coolest sketch ever. I have to watch where how I got with a person or... like where the person nice says, "Ah, oh, I want more cheese on it." So they get this guy. It's a sketch. It's not real life, but I can imagine it's happened in real life. So they say they want more cheese. So he goes, "Ooh,
ooh!" See, as soon as I hear
and
that,
and then he fires in the plate, and then.
Why are you laughing?
Do you not have seen though?
Because the waiter takes it to the table and goes, "How do you find that?" And she eats it. Oh, it's really nice.
Oh! See, this is why I'm even nice to the Mackey's people. I can't see behind that.
I'm lovely. Oh, I'm lovely to
sir. Yeah, can
I have this? I was literally, my voice has changed. Like,
yeah. You'll get too much tartar sauce, bro. You'll get too much tartar sauce.
To all of them, anyone who works in a restaurant. I'm like, also, if you've worked in one before, even if it's back of house, yeah, you know.
Bro, I remember one time I saw, what was it again? Let me just get my head. So, I was working at an establishment. I can't name the establishment.
Don't. What did it do?
It was quite a big establishment, innit? Yeah, it's quite a big establishment.
I just remember.
Look at the people that serve your food. Because certain men have this build up around their mouth, innit? And I just remember, what men will be doing with their hands and that, and like touching the pan, and then, you know, like then they're putting in the salt in your food,
or
that.
Picking stuff up from the floor, bruv, and not washing it. I'm like, that's my job. You don't have to worry about that.
It was crazy, but obviously that was like an event. Everything's just, you know, events are the quickest things ever. Has to go out, and then the event organizer getting aggy. But you know what? You get your food on it and you're not sick, you know what I'm saying? So
if you're not sick.
I hear that story.
Okay, let's go to episode. Steps to Christ.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
The first chapter. What's the first chapter?
The first chapter is called
God's plan.
God's love for man.
Is your first time reading it?
It's like, you know what? I read it when I first got baptized, so that was probably like
it's my first time.
Actually not. Did I read it? I glanced at it.
Okay. There's books that they give you like that.
So like Steps to Christ was like one of those books for me, and it like I didn't really read it.
The baptism
like
pack.
Yeah. And you know, you get the Great Controversy and Desire of Ages.
I haven't read them. Like, there was one time I wanted to read them, but then the person who I was meant to read them with, she was like, let's not, because then we'll end up like those. You know how you have like those church aunties?
You end up eating flowers.
Yeah, we'll end up like them. Oh yeah.
Flowers, beep. Flowers, beep, beep.
Oh my days. But yeah, okay.
Anyway,
so yeah, it's one of those books. It was quite small as well. So like, I remember like throughout certain points, I've read it, innit. I don't know, Justin. Did you read it before?
Nah.
Alvin,
I read the only thing I've read is probably Pictures of Prophets.
I might have told you this in sort of a brief we were talking at some point, and I said something like, "It's the one book." It's not the one book. Like, say it's the one that typically you'd start with, and for some reason I didn't start with that book.
Mm-hmm.
So I hadn't read it until
Pictures of Prophets.
Great Controversy. I started on.
Wow,
I haven't read that one.
I started on it.
Brilliant.
I got to chapter 5.
Yeah.
I'm planning to do more.
Do you ever feel guilty though, like as an Adventist? Like, really, remember when we used to do like
Bible study?
I don't know what they're called. I know them as Knock Door Ministries.
Coal portering or whatever it's called. Alvin, is that called coal portering?
Coal portering is like, it's almost, you sell books as well, or you give lit.
We'd always give Step to Christ. That's all I knew, but I felt guilty because like I never
read it. You'd never read it,
so you're just giving them a book that you never read.
That's it's so cool doing this now. Or I think it's a cool thing that we're doing.
And
this.
I think, you know what it is as well. Like the book, like literally, like the name is kind of like self-explanatory, and it like it's literally
very self-explanatory.
The steps to get to Christ, and it. So
let's go in with it.
Yeah, let's go.
God's love for man. We're not going to read that, by the way, guys.
Yeah. I don't know, we're gonna do segments,
but like we're not gonna
and comment. Yeah, not the whole thing.
We're not gonna read out the whole thing.
But like, it's tonight. Should we do this at the beginning?
No.
I was gonna say, like, talk about how So what we're gonna do is,
I just wanted to talk about like what we've read, to be honest, or what stuck out to us and that, innit?
Okay, go on. Run it. Say that again so that it sounds like you're...
Oh, no, nah, okay. So I just kind of wanted to get into like, I don't know, what stood out to us, like the first page, innit? Like, and we'll go from there.
The first page is the forward, though, so...
Okay, well, you know what I mean, bro. I'm just saying. The first chapter, then.
I don't have the forward in my...
You do? Oh,
sure. No, I don't.
Oh, okay. Okay, nah.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you notice in like the first, in like, what do you like? What you didn't like?
I don't know that I did. I don't think there's anything that I didn't like. The thing that I noticed, or the thing that that was really like, I mean, the title of the first chapter is God's Love for Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I found that really interesting, that mm-hmm. That's the title.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people don't know that God loves them or don't believe that God loves them.
Mm.
So that, and we ask quite valid questions like, why is the world kind of this way? Why is the world like this? If, like, some people ask the question, if God loves us, then why would he create a world that's like this? If God loves us, why does he let us die? If God loves us, all sorts of interesting and quite valid questions. And straight off, the first chapter seems to like actually set the record straight, but actually, or no, set, sets, either set sets, the record straight or set the tone. That's
sets
the word
tone.
I'm looking for.
It wants
to. But it's both tone and record because like it says, actually, and then it goes on to illustrate how it is that like why God loves us. It then gives like evidences why does God love us,
mm-hmm.
and then it makes me...
what's like stood out to me was like it was talking about like the evidence and like the reminders in it that we have that God loves us in it, and it was talking like the first part was talking a lot about nature as well in it.
Yeah,
and I think that's why. I don't know. I think probably some of like the deepest moments or the most recognizable moments that I've had with God has probably been outdoors as opposed to in church,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. 'Cause I feel like
say that again, sorry, though.
So the most like the times where I feel like, you know what, I'm connected, or like me and God are like here at the moment, is when I've been out in nature, whether it's been. And that goes whether it's like maybe like raining a bit or whether it's like the sun's out, innit? I just feel like when it's talking about, when it talks about like nature just being like a revealer of like God's love to us, innit? So yeah, that's what I kind of got, and that's what it reminded me of, innit? Mm. Cause I remember this is like a few weeks ago, like I did like a quick fasting and prayer, innit? And like my car was getting fixed the same day, like it's coincidental, and I was like, literally I'm just gonna go for a walk in it. Just went for a walk through the park and literally I was just talking to God and that, and I think that kind of reset
mm-hmm.
certain things and helped me like with certain stuff, and I kind of put my phone in airplane mode and just kind of just walked in it.
It's interesting that in that first, when you mentioned like the nature, I don't know, I'm talking too much. Go first and then I'll say.
No, carry on.
There's a verse that says, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And there's a guy, I think Bertrand Russell is one of the people who said, he was a scientist / philosopher, mm-hmm. anyway, in the 20th century. He said, if you were to die and meet God, and you were to find that actually God does exist, what would you say to him? And then he said something like, you didn't provide me enough evidence.
Whoa.
And I was like, in my head, I laughed and I thought, and then, so you have that statement of him, and there's another guy, a famous guy who said it, but I can't remember who the other guy was, versus the Bible's statement, the heavens declare my glory and the firmament shows my handiwork.
Mm.
It's like God wants to show the lesson. God wants to show the less everything that he's done, he's designed to point to himself. Mm-hmm. So much so that I think to myself, is it possible that, like, if we've decided to view the evidence a certain way, if we've decided to look at what God has said, this is actually the evidence of me, and somehow to disregard it, there's nothing else that God can do. Why would we even believe that it was God when he presented himself in front of us? If we didn't believe everything that he's put in place, what makes us think that we believe that God was the one standing in front of us? You know what I mean? But the reason I say that is because
it's funny that you say that, because I think somewhere it goes that where the disciples were questioning, like, they were like saying, oh, show us the Father, and it was like they walked with God and they still couldn't
for
see
how long?
Who God was. And I think, like, to link back to what you were saying, that you felt closest to God in nature. The first thing that jumped out to me was, like, we see God through nature, and that's the first thing that he created. And like God being love, like the chapter, like, saying who God, like God's love for man, like God being love, he can only create love and he can only create good. So when, like, people, like, question, like, why does God allow XYZ, like, he can't create that, because that's not what love does.
I think it's a funny thing with nature as well, because obviously I can walk in the park, but then also there's, like, hurricanes and stuff like that in it, and people will be like, oh, that's nature as well.
I think hurricanes are beautiful though.
I think obviously it's easy to say that it's beautiful when you're not in it.
That's kind of a point I was going to say still, because obviously we're, like, in a kind of middle, in the middle, so obviously we don't really have extreme weather, because even we don't really have, like, the northern lights, so it's just the kind of phenomenons that you kind of hear about, and it's like, mad, I want to go to those type of places. We don't really have those kind of things. Like, the things that we do have are literally beautiful, like, for example, Wales, Snowdonia, Malvern Hills. We went to Malvern Hills the other day.
It's brilliant.
It's literally amazing.
Lake District, Peak District, we've got the, I think, one of the best
kind of subjective. We have like the kind of basic stuff, basically, and even, like, deep down in the earth, like, you got caves as well. Like, caves are amazing, I must say. But, like, other places do have, like, better like kind of things that do show God's, like, do show God's love, and it's like those places are the type of things that we should be striving to try, like, to see, basically. And another thing that I wanted to tackle is in, like, or it's kind of says that, like, when it does say about, like, Satan has, like, kind of portrayed God as, like, kind of, like, jealous. It just wants to, let me not.
You don't want to
paraphrase.
Whilst you're looking for that, I was going to say, go on.
I was going to say, it says Satan led men to conceive of God. Is it what? To conceive of God as being.
Is it which paragraph and whatnot is it?
SC 10.3.
Okay, I'm there.
Okay.
Yeah, so Satan led men to conceive of God.
Oh, down there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's the word is conceive, right?
Wait, I'm.
Okay. Cool. I'm smart. But Satan led men to conceive of God as a being whose chief attribute is stern justice, one who is of severe, who is a severe judge, a harsh and exacting creditor. He pictured the Creator as a being who is watching with a jealous eye to discern the errors and mistakes of men. Obviously, saying that, like, I feel like for me that's like kind of like raw, because. I mean, when we do our bad stuff, our madness, like, we actually sometimes don't want to go to God with it, because it's like,
yeah,
God is now gonna like judge us and like kind of approve of what we're, obviously he doesn't approve of it, but like now he's not gonna like accept us back into his like,
yeah,
into his like,
isn't a, that part crazy? Of his
people. I think that's the biggest lie though. Definitely. I think we perpetrated that lie as well though. I think as Christians as well, even
go on,
because I think, I don't know, from how I viewed God and that, like, yeah, I saw love, but I don't know, I felt the judgment on and I saw the judgment on people more than the love element on people. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I didn't
Could you say that's because like you grew up in church rather than coming from outside in?
Nah, I hear what you're saying, but I think, yeah, I'm just speaking from like my experience, yeah, yeah. And it, like, I've just seen people misrepresent who God actually is. So like when I was reading this, like I'm thinking, how do we treat people so sternly and that, and like,
so does God.
And no, but like he does, but Satan,
I know that I'm saying, I know.
I feel like Satan over exaggerates the fact of how it is, isn't it? So like a father is stern, yeah, or a mother is loving, but there's certain aspects that we can like over exaggerate on, and it's not necessarily, that's not who, that's not the entirety of that person. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
As I'm listening to you, I was thinking in my head, I know that I've had the same feelings, like where I felt reluctant to return to God. If that, not even reluctant to return to God, but like where when I want to return, I'm like, is he gonna accept me? And I know that it's a stupid question. Like intellectually, I know it's a stupid question, but I thought to myself, so let's see, like the beginning of it, the first ever time that happened. Adam and Eve are in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
The serpent tempts them. Satan tempts them to disobey God and to eat the fruit that they shouldn't eat, and they do it. When they do it, everything that's Satan hasn't, they run away and hide, is basically what I'm saying. But they do that from out of their own selves.
Yeah, own guilt.
Because Satan didn't say, Satan says, will you surely die? God himself is the one who said, you will surely die.
Yeah.
If you do this, you will surely die. Satan has lied and he hasn't said you will sure. He's actually questioning. He's saying, will you really die?
Mm.
But then they run away. Like, but then, so when I see that, I'm like, there's something which got, like, there's something which they knew. In fact, there's a verse which says, sin separates us from the love of God.
Yeah.
But then there's also the principle that they just, It's what they did.
No, of course, but I think it's both as well. So I think we do it to ourselves, but then also here, like it's talking, we're talking like after creation now. I think how certain people may get taught about God.
Yeah.
Like you hear all these like mad stories about how people like warp and use Christianity to kind of be like a rod to certain people in it, and like just like, I don't know, you'll hear it a lot in like, I don't know, like the gay community, or you'll hear it a lot in where else do you hear it?
I think I hear it.
Or you hear it in like really like Orthodox Christian like households, and it where like people will be like beaten with the Bible, or like people like use that spare the rod, spoil the child like too much. Like they over exaggerate on the fact of certain aspects of God's character, but they forget about the others. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
So I agree that happens.
So one sec. Yeah. I'll give you an example. So I say Alvin speaks well. He's intelligent. If I only say that to you, Annette, and you don't know nothing about Alvin, you're only going to think that Alvin only speaks well and is intelligent. Therefore, if you go to Alvin, you're going to be maybe speaking to him a different way, or like, but you don't actually know who Alvin is. Because you haven't actually investigated it for yourself. You've only gone off what I've said.
Mm.
So I think the same thing happens in church for some people. I think children get taught about the hellfire and the judgment and the like certain aspects of who God is, but not the others.
I agree that that happens.
It happens a lot.
I think that what happens, I think what happens way more now is that the part of God's character that is emphasized the most, and almost like I would say that the reverse has happened, and the reverse is not like so of saying, for example, that it is important.
The thing is, I hear what you're gonna say. Like,
it's, so what I'm gonna, yeah, let me, I'll say it so on. That so it's good that we talk about the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brilliant that we should talk about the love of God. At the same time, I think we must talk about the justice of God. Mm-hmm. So much so that Ellen White has a nice phrase about justice and mercy meeting on the cross. I don't know if she used the word kissed on the cross, but it's something like that. But it has that image of it. Mercy and justice meeting at the cross.
Yeah, of course.
But like the importance of talking about both aspects. For example, nowadays the doctrine exists that we're no longer under the law, so to speak, people use it to mean that God's law has no relevance on the Christian life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When that's patently not true.
Yeah. But the thing is what we're saying the same thing, both extremes are dangerous.
Yeah. So
the love aspect just by itself, emphasizing that aspect, we're gonna come as you are, stay as you are, that kind of thought process there. God's not saying that. You get me? But on the same vein, God's saying,
come.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But
that's I was just putting it there for the balance, for the sake of like.
What yeah, that's interesting stuff. What else did man notice from it or like take from it?
It's interesting that a top one chapter can spark so much discussion. Anyway.
What did you notice, Annette?
You said something, but I just can't, because I was listening. I can't, like,
I can see you've got a nice book of notes there.
Oh, no, it's only that's how I read, like, I have to. And I was gonna say, something that you mentioned, about the way people understanding love.
Okay, I don't know what I said.
Never mind.
You said something along the lines of...
like paraphrasing, it was like the way people understand it. Like some people have that extreme of like just love and then like just justice.
Yeah.
And something that stood out for me like when I was reading was like God's adaptation. Let me just find the...
You know what it is? I actually got a mad ending question still.
Yeah, it says, think of their marvellous adaptation to their needs and happiness. Not only of man, but all of creation. Like, the way God shows his love to you is going to be completely different to the way God shows his love to me. And that adaptation, like, it's so, like, people don't realize it's so personal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to have with God. Like, yeah, we've grown up. I think this is something I've learned, like, recently. Yes, I've grown up in the Adventist church.
Yeah.
But I've been able to, like, become closer to God because of people outside of the Adventist church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like shaped like, oh, I get it, like it's now personal. I don't have to like just follow what Ellen G. White says or just do what the doctrines I learned in school. Like it's how God has revealed myself to him and the convictions that I've had with God.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I should live. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Like I think that's good as well, in terms of like, I think there's this kind of, this is my problem with like Christianity in general, and there's only like one way to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Or like only like one type in it, of person that
is there.
Huh?
See, I don't believe that.
The pinnacle of how to be, I feel like, is maybe a certain type. I don't, that just gets pushed a bit more than others in it. And I think when someone doesn't maybe meet that that type or that mold, they're not as holy or they're not as Christian or they don't have as strong as relationship with God. I think
can you go into that? What is that type? Like, what is?
Have you ever like gone to someone and been like, "Oh, I'm Christian," and I get this a lot with Muslims. Because I don't like saying I'm Christian. They're like, "Oh, so what are you?" I'm just like, "I'm Adventist." And it's like, "What does that mean, girl?" I was like, basically the fundamentals, like, we're not supposed to drink, we're not supposed to eat pork, like the Sabbath.
What do we do? What's the same thing? I know, I'm joking.
So, like, you tell them X, Y, Z, and they're like, "Oh, you're one of the good Christians." Like, you might as well be Muslim because, like, you're a good Christian.
I have had that still.
So is that a Christian? Okay, sorry.
Oh, no, so you're asking me, like, what that model mm-hmm. is. Mm-hmm. I think it's maybe someone that's, like, quiet, maybe is not, like, I don't know, like, fashionable, as we, like, would, like, say it today. They're not able, I don't know. I know the type of person that I'm
I know about. I think I understand what you're saying. Like, I want to put a counter to it.
I just, it might not be one person, but I know that there's several types of people that we would maybe look at and be like, yeah, that person is holy because of this external factor, and this external factor.
Like the Amish, that, like, they keep themselves.
Yeah. So, like, people might look at that and be like, oh wow, like, they're really, like, holy, and they must be connected to God because they don't do this, they don't do that, and they don't do this, and they don't do that. Now, whether they are or they aren't, now, yeah, is another thing, but
externally, like, outside, yeah.
But there's also verses that obviously talk about, like, by their fruits you will know them, innit. So
that's what I'm trying to work out. Like, where do you see the balance between those two? Like, so, what is your qualm? Like, I'm trying to understand your qualm.
I think my qualm is people shooting people down. I love that word,
qualm.
I think my qualm is shooting people down. Maybe on that they're never, that God's not asking them to. There's not one way to be. Like, even when we get to heaven, it's going to be different, and it's going to be.
Do you mean personalities?
Cameron's going to be Cameron. Like, Justin's going to be Justin and stay Justin, and Alvin's going to be Alvin.
Do you think that you Alvin. Said that but different? You said that. Sorry, I'm just. You said that different get pushed. Like, what do you mean by that?
Different. Like, so if someone's like, I don't know, like, you could take it to maybe like culture as well, innit, a little bit as well. Because if, for example, certain people could be like, because they won't say it, but they say, because you're louder or because you may be more animated or whatever, you're not.
I thought those are the very people who you want.
This may not go into the podcast, but that's a culture thing because you would want, but there's people that are of a certain culture that don't like loudness, and they will see that as unholiness.
See, I disagree. The reason
but you're not of that culture, so you wouldn't see that, and you don't judge people like that.
But also, like, for example, let me put it this way. So I was trying to think, has one thing been pushed? So I thought to myself, okay, when I thought about, say, for example, Abadaran, I thought we've had every sort of person speak at Abadaran. We've had, I think so. Like, so I'll draw a list. So the last, was it not last year? Year before last, we had Luami. Yeah. And he even mentioned how you can, like, you contain your personality. You can be a Christian and still have your personality. Like, did you remember Luami?
No, I wasn't there that year.
Oh, okay. Then another year we've had the late and great Pastor Davis. That's why I say this may not be.
Yeah.
But Pastor Davis.
You can say that name.
Okay. We had Pastor Davis one year. We've had Pastor Anton Fuller. We've had Dean Cullinane.
Mm-hmm.
We've had.
But this is one example though, and this is.
I know, but then I was gonna say, if you then look at, say, if you look at platforms which are Christian, and let's say The reason I say Christian, Adventist led platforms, even if they don't hold, I'm not talking about
Adventist as well. I'm just talking about like Christian or what even maybe people outside deem as holy in it. Cause I also think people's perceptions of what they may deem as holy.
Is that wrong?
Some people they are correct in it, like in some.
What sort of cakes?
I thought she was talking about different kind of cakes.
Different kind of cakes. I've lost my thought. Whoops! Now.
Whoopsie-doos.
Oh, I lost my thought. My bad.
I don't know. I always think it's more important to
the inside,
to know what non-Christian eyes see than Christians from a different denomination see. Because okay. I feel like that's already clouded. Like they've already got their teaching. I think it's like there's I forgot the phrase, but in the industry, so like in the hospitality industry, there's this saying where it's easier to train fresh hands than someone who's experienced.
So okay,
we prefer to like train people someone from, who's like, never college. Done it
before than someone who's coming with their potential, like. With bad habits.
Yeah, so say if I was like apply for another job, they would prefer to hire you because then they can mold you into that service. Yeah. Whereas me, like I have the service of two other restaurants, their style, as well as my own. So I feel like, I don't know, I'm always more concerned of what do non-Christian or non-believers perceive rather than other.
Yeah, I hear that as well. Like I think there's a certain degree in it to how people obviously that are not Christian perceive Christians, and I think in some aspects it's good to hear what people from the outside say, but at the same time they've
what if they don't know?
That's what I'm saying, like they've never experienced or never seen Christ, so what do they actually see?
No, I hear that. Anyway,
sorry.
What
I want to say, or just input, like, so that I don't get misconstrued, is I 100% agree that, in fact, God says he looks on the inward rather than the out. He looks at the inside of a person rather than the out. What's interesting is that the in starts to shine out the more Christ we walk with Christ.
True, yeah.
And when we walk with Christ, I think it's inevitable that we will change.
Mm-hmm.
How we change is not... So for example, Peter, like just looking at a quick example, Peter goes from a guy who slashes someone's ear and is like the most bombastic, like he's a soldier for Christ, to a guy who would be imprisoned and would even be killed for Christ's sake. Paul goes from killing Christ to walking with him and dying for Paul, that was a mad one,
and he's wrote how much books, you know what I'm saying? So like I'm not saying that people shouldn't change, and I can't lie, there's certain parts of my personality that are wretched, bruv, you get me? That need to change. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Obviously I'm not saying that you shouldn't.
Hi, Talitha. Sorry.
Hi, Talitha. Oh, yeah. Talitha might not be here for a few weeks because she's off doing her doctor thing.
Mm-hmm.
Said doctor thing.
She's doing her thing.
For real, she's doing her doctor thing.
She's making her ways, you get me?
We'll come visit her, though. We should go up at some point and record a podcast there.
Liverpool's far, man.
Mileage.
It's only 2 hours.
Let's leave that in the podcast as well.
Where she is this? I know it. Why is she?
2.5 hours.
It's mad though. She's finished. It's her last year. Crazy, bro.
But I feel like on the opposite end of like the spectrum, when you guys are talking about Paul to Saul or Peter, you've got King Saul.
Okay.
Like he was chosen because, essentially,
he was a leader.
Yeah, like God, like he was radiating God from within, but then in his demise, like God left him, And that's mad. Like, you can have a walk with Christ and end up completely different.
That's true.
And I think, oh, go on. There was something, because I was listening to it and something like spoke out to me. I can't remember exactly where it mentions it, but I know it says it somewhere, like, Jesus cries out, Lord, Lord, why have you forsaken me?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
When he's dying. I don't know, like, I feel like that's something that I kind of imagine, like, soul crying out before he went to, like, the
I don't think he witch. Did.
Nah, because Saul knew that the spirit had left him. Knew.
But do you think that he...
And I feel like the spirit also left Jesus, like, before. Because they had to separate. That's the only way that
crazy, salvation, you know?
Could be.
Yeah. Not... The thing is, though, Christ firmly believes, though, that everything that God said,
mm-hmm.
he will do. He still has absolute faith in God. So much so that after he's cried that, the last thing he says is, into your hands I commend my spirit. So he still has this trust of God and saying, actually, even though I feel forsaken by you,
mm-hmm.
I know that everything that you've said, you're still going to do.
But then remember, like, Jesus was still human. So the contrast between, like, him being able to carry on through, even though he knew that he'd been... you know, left there, where a soul was like, do you know what, let me just give up, like, I know I've been left, like, I might as well just...
I don't know if you know, there's a in the book Great Controversy, in, like, on page 36, there's a bit where Ellen White talks about the unpardonable sin, so to speak, mm-hmm. but where essentially we reject the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
She says, the spirit, something like, the spirit persistently resisted is at last withdrawn from the sinner till there's left no power to resist, something like resist the evil one, something like that. I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing, I'll look for it.
No, I think that's correct. I've heard that quote, yeah.
So
basically the spirit will only leave when there's nothing there to be convicted.
Because if we say enough times,
mm-hmm.
and if we can resist the spirit to the point where we don't want to hear the spirit, and the spirit will go, okay, well, I'm gonna respect your wish, because God is respecting the person's wish. Saul has so many times been told what he ought to do, and each time he's rejected it, the spirit is like going, are you sure you want to reject it? And then he goes, eventually this Holy Spirit goes, okay, I'll honor your wish. And there's a Bible verse which says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that which is meaning don't, when the Holy Spirit is talking to you, don't neglect what the Holy Spirit is saying. With people like Pilate in Desire of Ages, she mentions how that was his chance. He's with the Lord, he's with Christ, and he's at the trial of Christ in, this is chapter 27 of Matthew. And I can't remember the chapter in Desire of Ages, but it's a chapter called, it has his name in it, the Pilate and the Trial of Jesus, something mm-hmm. like that. And that's his chance at salvation. He spurns that chance. And even I think King Agrippa might also do the same as well, where King Agrippa spurns his chance with, like, when I say chance, I mean he rejects the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's why so many times in, like, say, Hebrews, whatever, Hebrews something, it says, today, several times, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. And it is us who do that. I believe it's Saul. Saul hardened his heart against the Holy Spirit. So each time that he rejected the Holy Spirit's voice, he hardened his heart. Sorry.
I don't want to say, like, devil's advocate, but could you not, like...
We love that. We love that term, yeah.
Could you not spin it and say, like, he was disheartened because he could see that...
God had rejected him.
Not God rejected him, but...
When
you're, like, in so much power and so much favour, and then you see someone else, like, because he could see that David was being used.
Okay, yeah,
so he was like, why am I still, like, on this walk?
Yeah.
Could you not say that made him
But the thing is, though,
question, like, if...
But David comes into the picture because he is not doing
Yeah, but then it takes for him to see that, oh, I'm being replaced. Because could you say at that point there was still like still a chance for him to...
Well, there's a certain amount of humility that has to come in, innit? Like, that you have to ask God. And he wasn't willing to do that, innit? He was willing to go off what he wants to do, innit? And he chose to treat David in a certain way. Like, the thing is, it's kind of like when... I don't know, when you just have like an apprentice or like you can see someone's coming through the ranks, innit?
Yo.
You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to stop them from actively getting through the ranks, innit? Like, it's kind of like Moses and is it Joshua?
Joshua and Moses, yeah.
So like, I don't think Moses ever stopped Joshua, obviously, from becoming a leader, you know what I'm saying? Because no one stopped Moses, innit? Like, sometimes as the man in power, because God's got the ultimate power, but he never stops people from going through. You know what I'm saying? There's like a verse in the Bible that says like there will be, or like there's places where it says like there'll be people that will do greater than
John even says Christ will. Greater work. Jesus says, greater works than me will you do.
Exactly.
But John says he must increase and I must decrease of Christ.
Yeah, but I know. But imagine Christ is saying that.
I know.
The done with the ultimate power.
And I think he's talking about the globe, like their reach will be far greater than his.
But even so, for someone like you were talking about the creator of the universe.
I agree with you.
That doesn't make sense for someone that powerful to say that. So you, a little king, can't make David come through. Relax.
And then what's interesting is like when Nebuchadnezzar is humbled by God. He's an animal. Literally, he lives as an animal, not as a literal animal, but he's living as though he were an animal. Mm. Like, God did that to him.
But even though he was humbled so many times, like he still went back to.
But because
did he die in his ways, or when he died, was he repented?
In fact,
it's his son that comes after him and does basically the same thing. I think.
Pretty much.
Like he follows him. And then God speaks to the son.
Belshazzar, I think.
Well, sorry, no. Daniel speaks to the son and is like, "Yo, like, didn't you see what happened to your dad?" It's either God or Daniel speaks to.
And it might be, even though it says his son, I think it's technically his. I don't know.
Grandson, like it's a descendant. Let's get back to.
Sorry, sidetracks.
No. It's good. It's good, isn't it? Because it's discussion. But trying to think.
I had one more thing that stood out to me.
Go on.
If that's all right, on the thorns and thistles. Let me think. Am I thinking straight?
Mine was the
You say yours first. While I'm looking for
mine was when Jesus came to preach to the poor, brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captive, recover sight to the blind, set liberty. And then it goes on to kind of say he exercised the greatest tact and kind of attention in relationship with people. So Christ is a people person. Like, I don't know, sometimes we don't think that we need to be people's people, but... That's who Christ was.
Customer service.
the ultimate guy. But at the same time, though, he said that he's always spoke a true word. Like, he would never... I don't know how he did it, though.
There's a terminology that...
He said Jesus did not express one word of truth, but to utter it always in love. So he would never just... You know how people just want to like, I just want to say it how it is. You know what I'm saying? That kind of arrogant. That wasn't how Christ wanted to do it. But I think sometimes, because we know the truth.
Or like, take it how you take it. I'm going to say, you take it how you take it.
But he was never like that. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
He was intentional about the truth that he...
But you know, it even said as well, it went deeper. It said Christ knew the type of people that he was speaking to. Like, they were like tender-hearted people. And it like, it's kind of like speaking to your grandma just anyway. You know what I'm saying?
You wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that.
I think it's like in that in that section.
What you have? What, the, I think this. Go on.
No, that section where he goes needless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that so the read, importance.
Read that bit.
Go on.
Let me see. Jesus did not suppress one word of truth, but he uttered it always in love. He exercised the greatest tact and thoughtful, kind attention in his relationship with the people. He was never rude, never needlessly spoke a severe word, never gave needless pain to a sensitive soul.
That was it, yeah.
Never needlessly spoke. Yeah.
But when it was needed.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's
true.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah, no, because you basically, you go through.
Cause you I was just saying, like, because you were saying that he always did it, but it was like, there's times where
he would speak a stronger word.
And when he did, it wasn't just for the sake of it. It wasn't just like out of anger.
No, it was for a purpose. It's for them to, hopefully for them to repent, but also to show, like, sometimes God wants, like, sometimes it's to fix.
I feel like sometimes
to fix to cause someone to be better, as a doctor or something, you have to cause harm. Now that sounds weird, doesn't it? But like, what a surgeon is like taking a knife to you, cutting you, potentially sawing bone.
Yeah.
Like doing all sorts of stuff, but to make you better.
I see it as like a parent, like, you know, when they're
chastising a child.
Not even chastising. Yeah, like, even chastising. Like, they'll give you a warning. I don't know.
That word sounds hella pervy, bro. I can't lie. The word just sounds hella. Really? I know it's the correct word, but it just sounds pervy, bro. I don't know why.
How?
I don't know.
Okay, like when disciplining a child.
Thank you.
They'll give you warning before, like, you feel it. Like, it's like Christ. Like, yeah.
Fair enough.
In fact, it even says in, like, that paragraph, was it 10? It says something like, it talks about how the thorns and like, the thorns, the making, like, the thorns in the... I need to find it. Those things he basically
the thorns. Just in the thorns.
Man's had a list, bro.
Where is it?
I love you, Alvin.
Oh, I love me too.
I like you. Have to. You ain't got no girl. I'm the same. Don't worry. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. I'm the same to you.
Don't worry about it, sweetheart.
That's a split.
What am I looking for? Oh, okay.
The thorns and thistles section.
Mm.
That's like after that verse.
The thorns and thistles, the difficulties and trials. So this is paragraph 9.3 of the book. The thorns and thistles, the difficulties and trials that make his life one of toil and care, were appointed for his good as a part of the training needful in God's plan for his uplifting from the ruin and degradation that sin has wrought. The world, though fallen, is not all sorrow and misery. In nature itself, a message of hope and comfort. Oh, in nature itself are messages of hope and comfort. Oh, that was a big spit. There are flowers upon the thistles, and thorns are covered with roses. I never looked at it that way.
Hmm.
In my mind, it was always like the roses perverted by the thorn and the flowers perverted by the thistle. But like, when God, I never understood why God said, why God cursed the ground. Because in Genesis 3, he cursed the ground so that it would have to be worked to produce toiled, what it was yeah. doing. He said everything will produce thorns and thistles and he makes things harder. But when you actually think about it, all of that, the curse, he does for the benefit of...
It's needed, really.
Absolutely needed.
It's necessary.
He does it for our benefit and to, like, for example, without those things...
Couple man would be soft still.
Not just soft, like evil.
But yeah, it wouldn't make sense because think about it, like, you wouldn't give a baby, like, I don't know, like a Rolly or something. You know what I'm saying? Like you, or Rolex.
Some people do.
You wouldn't. I don't know. You wouldn't give.
We can't.
Yeah, I or can't because I'm broke.
You wouldn't like. Why is it that like a criminal? Why is it that we feel some sort of way when we see a criminal driving the best car? Because we know that there's something.
I don't feel the type of way still.
Do you
know? I know my blessing's coming. Like,
No.
You can
no.
have it one day, but then the next day.
Exactly. No, but I mean, I don't mean like. I'm like, you know what, you do. I don't say you do you, but you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I say, Alvin. I face my front.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we know that there's something. It's unjust, like something gained unjustly. We know that it's just we have an innate feeling that that is unjust.
Yeah.
For example, like, or God knew that for us to be in a world of utter comfort, with our minds bent towards sinning as a result of having sin,
would have taken mad advantage.
And it actually had, like, the world then was far more fertile. There was gold was like, I'm not even gonna go into it, but like gold, the world was so much, yes. It was in abundance and it was higher, it wasn't buried. In fact, it's buried by the flood, and like, but like,
it was
the world in when you see Genesis 6 and it talks about how the world became, that everything was just evil. That's a result of how comfortable they were. And then, or it's not a result, but like part of it is you forget God when you're comfortable, and you not just forget God, you're more, the devil can make work for idle hands.
Most definitely.
But when the hands are toiling to produce the food, there's less time and there's less imagination spent on evil. It's why for us to not work and for us to be idle, God does not want that.
Nah, even saying that though, like, as in, there's times where even when you're working, that when you get too comfortable, you get too relaxed, and then certain things start happening. Uh-huh. For example, JD, I was very comfortable in JD.
Oh, were you?
So, like, many things happened. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. But, like,
praise the Lord. Like, praise the Lord.
That's why I kind of had to do, like, recognize a change, and I had to work kind of harder. And I was like, mad, I'm too comfortable here. So now I have to, like, kind of put myself in an uncomfortable position again. So literally, it's all,
yeah, there's no growth that comes out of comfort.
It's true.
You just maintain them.
Like, no one likes it. Like, I hate, like, you know, them sayings, like, like, you know what I'm
the
saying?
The diamond,
like,
is, like, formed under pressure.
I don't want to be under pressure. Really, I don't want to be under pressure.
The thing is, it's the people that say it, they're like, because they've already reached it, yeah. Like, so, the thing is, what I hate when people that have already made it, they say that thing, because it's like, fam, you're not wearing a mat, so
you relax. As corny or as cheesy as those sayings are, it's kind of true.
It's very true. That's
like, because, like, you were just saying, like, have you guys, is it 2 days off, or you've had, is it a day off?
Yeah.
And then you're saying, like, you're going back to
my life's off. You're talking about,
but you're going back to, like, study soon.
Yeah.
And what you were saying something like about, like, in quarantine, to be fair, everyone knows.
I'm getting tired of sleep, bro.
No, but the thing is, even quarantine, I was kind of putting myself in uncomfortable situations. But, literally by doing stuff, though.
I had to get out of the house.
Like. The thing is, getting out of the house, but even online, for me, I wasn't really an online person. So, like, the fact that I've just done random stuff online, obviously, even safe parameters.
Oh,
like, for example,
good stuff.
I created a blog. So, like, I've never done that before. I created a blog. I literally wrote a couple of stuff as well. Researched about the body. I was doing some random
things. But that's your field, isn't it?
For me, that was interesting, but like, obviously,
the internet is a mad place.
It's a trap, bro.
Satan is so clever.
Nah, it is. There's always gonna be good negatives and positives in everything you
do. It's how you choose. Like, obviously, like, I've had to, like, start, like, researching, like, little stuff in it. I know some people don't do it, but, like, yeah. So, like, I'm looking up, like, certain, like, legislation and stuff like that, and certain stuff to do with whatever.
I just had a thought. Isn't it interesting that most of the negative websites on the internet have a black background.
What sites have you been going on? Because I've never seen that.
Not all of them.
I did say not all, but isn't it interesting? Like, you don't see like HSBC's background is as black as can be.
I want to know what these books are. I don't know what you mean.
Which one, Alvin?
I don't know.
Who came in my head still?
The black and orange one.
That's what I
care. Isn't that interesting? There's something like, it's like, why, like, Windows, like...
By the way, we're not saying to go on these websites, by the way, check out for us. For yourself.
You don't have to check for yourself. Don't check for yourself.
Now, the thing is, our listeners know anyway, bro.
I know. Isn't it, like, I was trying to remember what... Like, have you ever walked past an Ann Summers? Yeah.
Ann Summers, literally?
When you walk past Ann Summers...
Is she black with an apple?
Yeah.
Apple is pink?
It's actually apple. But Apple's been bitten out as well.
Hey, bro, I went into Ann Summers once. Hey.
What were you doing, Ann?
I wasn't supposed to be in there.
Deep it.
The Apple's bitten out.
I just wanted to see Apple, the Apple maker. But like, obviously, like, I seen the little thing, and then, like, I walked in, like, I peeked into the right, and I seen the biggest dildo ever, bro.
Oh, I thought all of them were at the back.
Nah. It was mad, bro.
Like the book, like what's Ann Summers?
Hey, it was mash. It was like the mic stand, bro. It was
You should like speak to the, because obviously I'm a lady. I've been in there like to get.
Yo, this one is, man.
Undergarments, but like speak to the what are they called?
The customers.
The assistants.
Yeah.
The way they like, they're so like.
They're into it.
The vim.
I've tried this one.
they're like, your partner would love this one. I was just partner?
Alright, let's go. We need to go in one day, guys.
But isn't it interesting?
They love when guys come in. Okay, yeah. Because it's mainly women that go in, like, they get stuff for their partners, whatever.
Nah, let's go. Three man deep. Let's go.
I don't need to go in there.
I'd love to see Alvin in one of them.
No.
Start him light. Like, go to Victoria's Secrets. That's just perfume.
Nah, Victoria's Secrets is
calm. Yeah, start him light.
No, I could walk into Ann Summers easy. I just don't want to.
Yeah, nah. It's a perverted place.
Let's go.
My point was, Warwick.
Let's go boring.
Oh, boring. No, my point was like there's certain shops. There's one by town, and I'm trying to remember its name.
The adult one, and it's
just black. Like, isn't it interesting?
Black with neon lights.
It's always like, yeah.
It's like, think of what's it called? Las Vegas. The neon lights are so bright.
I can just imagine the smell in there, bro. It just smells just like, just.
Guilt.
You know what it was?
Sin.
Guilt and sin, you know.
But it's interesting. I just find it interesting. There's a verse that I'm looking for, and it talks about God bringing us. It's 1 Peter 2:9, and it's really the first chapter sort of outlines this principle. 1 Peter, Alvin, you're being a bit slow today. Sorry, guys, it's after work. I'm a bit tired.
Sorry, Alvin. We love you anyway.
So.
Oh, right, there's more. No, I forgot. No, I thought that was the last.
So, it says this: but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Ain't that interesting, though? Like, when I'm going back to sort of a bit of a discussion. God wants to make us, I don't want to say weird, he wants to make us, like, it's such an interesting thing, walking against a crowd, like, I do hear that, like, it feels weird, everyone is going in this direction, and you're literally walking in the opposite direction, but it's the same thing as, like, God wants to get us to the point where the things that, and he doesn't want us to look at it as, okay, he doesn't want us to view it as, okay, everyone's into that, I'm going to be into the opposite. Rather, he wants us to go be into
like,
me
like a contrary, and be into like what a contrarian mindset. Yeah,
that's not what he wants. He wants us to be into him and into what he wants us to be into.
Mm-hmm.
it just so happens that all of that will set us against the crowd.
Nah, definitely.
No, no, no. I hear that as well.
Now, what deep it, like, even in like your roles now, like the things that you do, or the attitudes that you have in like your workplace now, or even in life.
Yeah.
Like, how many times has someone come up to you and be like, "Oh, you're different," or like, "Why do you do this?" or "Why do you do that?" You know what I mean? I got told off once in JD
because
I smiled too much. I apparently annoyed my manager because I was smiling too much.
How it's crazy, ridiculous. But
like,
is that?
You know what it is? I've never turned it off though, because like, why are you frowning then? You
know what I mean? Smile, bro. Smile.
I get the opposite, you know. I get like, smile more.
Smile.
But I'm like, my face is just like set this way, and it's the thing is, I'm really happy on the inside, and I talk.
Show the world.
I'm so happy.
Now, the bad thing is, Cameron does show it sometimes.
He does.
So happy.
No, you can hear, like, I hear you before I see you, and like you, cause like. It's like when you're not, if you're on your own, you just wear whatever your normal face. But like if, like now, you're smiling. Well, like, you're not smiling, but you're like.
I am blushing.
Yeah, I just hate when professional spaces ask you to smile, because it's like,
why? No.
Bro. Oh, you have to.
Extra to smile though.
I
only regardless. Have to smile. At
I smile
the customer,
regardless, but if
I
they
smile
ask regardless. Me.
I don't have a smiling face though. Like I can't just smile all the time.
I have to.
You see, yeah. And that looks fake. That looks mad fake.
No, but like,
you know, I think I'm smiling. In my head, there's been times that I think I'm smiling.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And customers would be like, "Are you okay? Like, you look like you want to kill someone." I'm like, "To me, like, I'm in a good mood."
Serial killer, you know. Like,
you know what? The thing is, in my head, I'm thinking about unicorns and like cardboard dinosaurs, bro.
Oh yeah, he's definitely thinking about cardboard.
Wait,
dinosaurs.
What's going on?
Nah, back with his cardboard dinosaurs.
Everybody else, like, I'm just sad, and I'm not, and I want everybody to know I'm really happy. I'm really happy.
They don't know that.
Don't give me a hug because it's COVID times, isn't it? But before, you could have given me a really big hug, but now you can't.
Because to me, don't like, touch me though. Maybe I naturally have a rest, like, my resting face is.
I always
smiley-ish.
Feel like you're always in thought.
Yeah.
It's just like, how is the thinking emoji?
No, I am not. I am a smiling emoji.
No, how is the cloud? You know what I mean?
So I was gonna say the one with the monocle, bro. The
monocle, bro. Oh my gosh! I'm the smiling emoji.
Oh my goodness.
I think in my head when I think of my natural face, it's.
Nah, you have a cute, you have a really nice smile.
Thank you.
You do, because you got nice teeth as well.
Go and change.
Oh, I didn't finish that okay. Verse. Snap.
Yeah,
you did finish the verse.
I might. Oh, this might go out. Anyway, the verse says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people."
You
should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So
you didn't read the last part.
Yeah. So the last bit is like kind of what this book is about. It's a book about how
we are called.
Yeah. Like God's whole plan, like we fell and we are sinners, and the whole plan and everything that he's doing, and the fact that he's loved, before we even asked to be redeemed, he started a plan to redeem us. And he says, even though I am redeeming you, you have the choice to choose not to be redeemed if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I really want you to, I want you with me. And he's calling us from a sort of like less, a bad state into a good state, if that makes sense.
Mm.
I
just want to read the last, Carl highlighted that bit. So basically says, the more we study the divine character in the light of the cross, the more we see mercy and tenderness and forgiveness
mm-hmm.
blended with equity and justice, and more clearly we discern the innumerable evidence of love that is infinite and tender, and a tender pity, surpassing a mother's love, yearning sympathy for her wayward child. So we're like wayward children, basically.
We are. Yeah.
Justin's wayward.
Trust me. Annette's
very wayward.
What do you mean?
I'm joking.
Annette's just in a while.
I am. I'm wayward. I'm in the clouds, mate.
What? He's in the clouds.
Is that the narrative you want to go down, though?
No, I'm not in the clouds. I don't smoke cannabis.
On a real though, we're all like, I feel like guys are just like, come on, man, guys, like.
Nah, he's pretty.
I really want to ask God if it is his will for me to get into heaven. Like, I really want to ask.
Yo,
you know what?
Tell her to read jokes.
I want to ask why, because if he's omnipotent and omnipresent and he knew like this was something that was going to happen, like he could have just stopped at just the angel just before Satan. Why put yourself through all of that stress if you know, like, I'm going to put a plan, I'm going to give people options, but they're not going to believe it, and they're going to have to deliver them, then I'm going to have like suffer this heartbreak of like, right.
Why
Jesus
the long
dying.
Game? Why the
yeah.
long game?
Okay.
Like, just
I'll give
don't it. Create Satan.
See, that's a lot of hypotheticals.
That's what I'm saying.
And here's
if
what...
it's his will for me to meet him, I want to ask why.
So here, that's a lot
it's
of
gonna
hypotheticals.
It's going to be God. Why, man?
But I'm gonna, because I've thought about this. I don't think I have the answer, but I think I've thought about it long enough. I don't want to say I have the answer,
but I've thought about it long enough.
Point one, would be with God creating beings with free will, there would always be the possibility that it would happen. So much so that. So the person who starts this off is one angel, but he convinces a third of heaven to follow him.
That's what I'm saying. So, stop at the angel just before Satan, take a break.
Yeah, but it's not
then
like,
get back to it.
But any other angel could have done. Other angel could have done
simply
that
because of free will.
Yeah, simply
because of free will.
It's not just us that has free will.
The fact that he convinced other angels.
They're not like programs, you know. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but like you're saying, they could have done it. They had the option to.
Yeah.
But like God knew, well, God, like but from the beginning of God's existence, God he knew that no that other
this
angel
one,
would. Yeah.
Not Alvin or Annette, but Justin is gonna
imagine,
be the one.
Imagine going to like a scan and be like, "This child is a bad breed." Would you like still?
Yeah,
would you terminate the pregnancy?
That's the kind of last point that I wanted to say.
Another answer, but go on.
Oh, go on, drop it.
I was gonna say is like, I think God is. God did not want to rig the pause.
Has got the giggles.
No, it's when Justin said he'll get his point quick.
I didn't even it's hear it.
Nah, and the thing is,
I listen to too many, and the way people like cuss Alvin for the way.
Yo, thank you. Thank you. Annette. All. The time. Jesus never said a harsh word unnecessarily. Anyway. Jesus would never. I think if he were to have done that, it would have been rigging the game. And I don't think it's in him to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's his character to rig the game. Even if we wouldn't know that he rigged the game.
Mm.
But also... that's in a way that's cheat. That's a form of controlling.
No, I was gonna say
the out like of controlling free will.
Random, but in Endgame now, Thanos now, says that. Obviously, you know when they're fighting him in the next scene now,
The last scene.
He's basically saying that.
He's
obviously because they found him out now. Again, and obviously the whole time travel thing.
Yeah,
he's basically going to like destroy this universe and it now. Like he's not gonna go through the previous plan, the snapping thing again. He's gonna just recreate it. And then Captain America says, or one of them says that, he says no one would know in it basically. And then Captain America's like, but it will be a universe born out of blood in it. And I feel like it's the same thing with God. In terms of like, God would be the person that would know, but God wouldn't be easy with it. You know what I'm saying? So God could reset, but he wouldn't be easy with that. That's not in his character to do in that decision.
See, that's what I was gonna say. Like based on like Like we're saying, like, it's based on God's love, really. Obviously, like, with you can technically say that with Adam and Eve as well. Like, as in, Eve sinned. You basically could have just, like, said, okay, these two are not the one. let's bring in test subject two.
Karen and Phil.
Literally, let's test them. But because, like, God is a person who, like, now, literally, God formed a bond. Like, through creation, he formed a bond. It's like, literally, he's like, wow. These are my people. Let me give them a chance. Let me still try.
You know, in fact, saw him like in the Garden of Eden. They never saw God.
Who?
Huh? Adam and Eve.
They walked with him.
Why did I understand that they never?
They walked and talked.
In the cool. Walk and talk with Jesus.
They literally had like communication. Like so, obviously they literally formed a bond.
They were perfect as well. I remember, so they wouldn't be like see like us. We would be like. What was the final question then, Justin, that you had?
How God shows his love. What's the greatest kind of way that God showed his love in the Bible? I've already said my one still. That was my last point. So
what's your one?
I already said it. The Adam and Eve thing. Obviously, I feel like that's like God's greatest by giving us potentially another chance. Literally, because I literally could have just said like, scrap this project. Let me start a new one.
Yeah.
Let me change the earth as well, because maybe the earth wasn't as good as I could have done it. It's like Clue when he created the grid. Shout out to Tron fans out there.
I hear that still. Tron was actually a sick movie. Tron was a bad boy movie. He's in the lights and the bikes and that, innit?
I know of it, but I don't know.
It's hard. But I would say God's love, and this was, people would say like this is when like God was like more stern and that, innit? Was like the whole children of Israel situation, and it, I feel like whenever I've like looked into that or like read it, or it's just been like, God, you have like patience. Like, and even when it seems like he doesn't and he's not doing stuff in love, when you actually deep the whole situation, he has ultimate patience. Like, he just wants them to do better, but they don't want to do better. They just want to do their thing and do their little golden calf.
And the amount of times he goes, no, you know, go ahead. The amount of times he just goes, he even says, you know what? You think you know better? Go ahead.
Do you think?
Do what you think is better.
FM.
And then he goes, I told you. I don't want you to even go through this.
I says, told you. I told y'all.
If you do that, you're going to need some milk. Is what, and then we need milk. My favorite one is the cross. And then we can leave our guests to do the last one. If they.
I was going to say my... I don't know if the stories correlate. You know when the angels and Jesus came down and they went into... Was it Sodom?
Yeah.
And they... Was it Lot or Abraham?
Lot was in Sodom. Abraham, yeah. He bargains with. Outskirts.
I guess it's Lot. Was it Lot then? And they kept asking if there's like five people, you say that there's 10 people. Yeah. And then even when they were in the village, like the people were asking to sleep with the angels and Jesus, but he was still willing to like save them. Like that's just...
Yeah, I hear that still. Yeah,
that's just mad.
Had there been the right number...
Mm-hmm.
It's mad though, because it's not going to be like that in the end though.
And God makes sure that everyone who's righteous is escaped.
I hear that. Literally all of those chances though. If it's not going to be like that in the end, so
no, it's not going
to
be like
hopefully that like, this podcast just like reaches out to someone.
Yeah,
definitely. He actually needs to hear it, man, because this is what
like God. For, everything is God will go through anything for you. Like to have you, he'll go through anything.
There's a song that goes, it's a hymn. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to say the words.
I need to deep that myself, you know. Sometimes what? I don't think, like, God will do anything for me. Or, like, he'll... Not do... What?
Within
reason. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I don't deep how much on my side God wants me to win.
Mate, there's a song that...
Sing, Evan.
There's a song that goes... I'm not going to sing, honestly.
I'll sing it.
It goes...
Go on.
The lyrics are... He left the splendor of heaven.
I don't know that song.
He left knowing the splendor.
Knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of God. Like, deep the words. He left the splendor of heaven.
Yeah.
Knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. And the chorus goes, If that isn't love, then the oceans are dry, heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this if that isn't love. The last verse goes, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his sight. And he said with love and affection, you'll be with me in paradise. Like,
I read that still.
God, Christ, left a place where he's adored by angels and seraph, where he's, where everyone appreciates the fact that he's the creator. And he comes to an earth where people have sinned, not just sinned, but are in open rebellion and even sometimes hatred of him, to die for those very people. Not the ones who, not just the ones who love him, but even the ones who hate him. So that even the ones who hate him and know and see that actually this is love. This person actually loves me. This person actually wants the best for me. And he wants me to choose. He doesn't want to force the best for me on me. He wants me to choose the best for me. He came to die for anyone who'd hate him and curse his name, as well as anyone who'd accept him. And that's the opening chapter of the book. Like, and more than that, that is the God, not just of the Bible. And when I say of the Bible, I mean the whole Bible. But he's the God who wants to know you and wants you to know him. I don't know, that's my last sentence on that.
Wow. Nice, wow. Cardboard dinosaur safe, yeah? That was after some of our podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah?
Safe.
Oh my dear.
We out!
Bye-bye, everyone.
It was good having you.
Oh, snap.
Thanks for having me.
We're having Annette in the house.
My G, Annette. Mercury.
The, all just, of those notes. What else is on the notes? Just out of curiosity. Oh, I mean, it's over now. But
I think the only thing I didn't say. Actually, there's two that didn't say. The thorns and thistles.
Mm-hmm.
God cursed the ground so we can like depend on him. Because like understand. It's like a scar almost. Always seeing that reminds you of like, oh, this is what happens,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he. Because you could have gone through life without having to
do anything.
Yeah.
Could have been like Cameron. Sleeping.
I think.
Have a pitch before. Fish, yeah.
It's so sly as well. I didn't even catch. I caught it after it happened.
Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah, everything else.
Is that it?
Yeah, everything else was mentioned.
That's going in the podcast. Somehow.
It's going to be in the podcast.
Grah! Finished! Cardboard dinosaurs!
Chicken!
We should actually do merch of the cardboard.
Spiral
on the